The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yeah, it's time to empower, educate, and encourage all women to motivate you through whatever you've been going through. We can talk about it. We ain't passing no judgment. So don't be ashamed. It's all the same. Stay in your lane. Your lane. It's whatever your real life looks like. Stay in your lane. Come out the dark and don't be ashamed. Your lane. Let's have a come on what we face every day. Tune into your lane talk show. It makes us feel good just to know we're not alone. No more will we feel isolated and cast aside. I want you to come out the dark. Just don't be afraid of your heart. So don't be ashamed, it's all the same. Stay in your lane. Your lane. It's whatever your real life looks like. Stay in your lane. Come out the dark and don't be ashamed. Your lane. Let's have a conversation on what we face every day.
Your Lane Talk Show with Coach Trish Hannah. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome everyone to Your Lane Talk Show with your Coach Trish Hannah, broadcasting live from beautiful Nassau, Bahamas, via 96.9 FM dial, and we are excited to present to you today's show. Now, if you are joining us for the first time, welcome, 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 welcome. This show was created actually to empower, encourage, and educate women of all ages. And from time immemorial, from the time I started this particular station, I've been saying we haven't really been doing much female shows, specific shows. However, last week, we did have a show regarding females. It is was entitled Life After the Storm, Living with Purpose Beyond Breast Cancer, where we had our guest who overcame triple negative stage 2 cancer, and that's Anya Adderley, and she spoke about her discovery of strength that she never knew she had. She shared her story of hope, healing, and purpose. She also shared how there were a few times when she thought that she literally was in the front of death's door, all right? And she had people, the listeners, crying. It was just a phenomenal, yet heartwarming, hopeful show, but especially for those who are presently going through or experiencing breast cancer. We also had with us oncologist Dr. Theodore Turnquest, and of course, he gave his medical insight and, you know, helped us with, you know, the type of foods that we should be eating, nutritional benefits of eating those foods, what should be the most prominent thing that we all should do as women is to get tested. But obviously, we do that, he suggested, every day while we're in the shower, to test ourselves, you know, and see, you know, if there's any in what's the word I want to use? Issues, because I can't remember the word, regarding, you know, our breasts, any changes, inconsistencies with our breasts. And so we give God thanks for last week's show. People are still talking about it, and it was very much encouraging. Of course, if you want to go and look at that show, you can listen to the replay. It is on YouTube, Coach Trishanna. You can go there. And while you're there, please like and subscribe. It's 149th show, once again, entitled Life After the Storm, Living with Purpose Beyond Breast Cancer. Okay. And we also had the support of Jenny Dean, Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group, who was tuning in and, of course, lending their thoughts and opinions about some of the questions that we had as well. So salute to those who are a part of the Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group. May God continue to bless you and the work of your hands. Okay, so there are lots of ways that we can be heard today. You can tune in to Guardian 96.9 FM dial if you're about to head out. You can, if you're inside the home, you can go to channel 969 on cable. channel 612 on BTC Flow channel, the Guardian Radio app for those who are privileged enough to have it for Apple and Android, and on the website, www.guardiantalkradio.com. We're also on Facebook, Life Coaching, and Job3314 Dreamwear on Facebook. And for those who be like, oh man, I don't have Facebook, or I ain't interested in Facebook, you can always go on YouTube, Coach Trish Hannah, and we're all live. This is all live right now, 3:36 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So before we begin, though, I want to ask you, sometimes our children's dreams can reveal so much more than we realize, right? So have you ever, for the parents who are tuning in, have you ever listened to a dream your child shared and thought, that sounds like something spiritual. I need to look into this a little bit more. Have you ever spoken to them about it? Or have you just, just brushed it away or brushed it aside? How did you respond as a parent when your child experienced dream warfare? Okay, so that's basically the question. How do you respond when your child comes to you concerning dream warfare? Facebook audience can hear me. Can you hear me, Facebook audience? Because I have not placed in, let me see if I should put this on just in case. Yeah. Facebook audience, can you hear me? Good. We're good to go. All right. So if you want to give us a call, you can do so at 1-242-323-6232, 1-242-325-4316, or 1-242-254-259. And if you're on the road and somebody else is driving and you're not, you can give us a text as well. You can text us at 1-242-422-4796, because we ain't about texting and driving, okay? So if you want to pull on the side of the road and text, that's fine. If you have any questions for today, go ahead. You can text or give us a call. But the question is, how do you respond as a parent when your child experiences dream warfare? So, Your Lane Talk Show, this is at 50, Dream Warfare, How the Enemy Targets Children with Destiny, is brought to you by, thank you to our sponsors, John Shoe Store and Accessories, Airwick, distributed by Thompson Trading, Tropical Gyros, Your Lane Life Coaching, and Children's Dream Journal. Now, for parents, y'all know that every dream your child has carries meaning. I don't care if it may seem as if, oh, I could just throw this one on the side. You have to look for every little thing possible that you can possibly think of, because you never know. Sometimes we dismiss things that may seem as if it's minute or doesn't have any meaning, but everything within their dreams you can pull out or pull from, okay? Don't let those dreams be forgotten. What you can do is purchase the Children's Dream Journal. It will help you capture those dreams and guide your child's destiny with prayer and purpose. Now, the Children's Dream Journal is available now at All Seasons Book and Gift Center, and you can also Amazon. All right. All Seasons Book and Gift Center told me that was like 2 weeks ago. They said that there were only 3 books left. So I am not certain if any more books are still there. But if they are, please go ahead and order your copies. And if they're not, of course, I'll probably stop by sometime tomorrow to find out. All right. And then ensure that they're there for you to purchase. Now, I want to go straight into it because I'm excited. My stomach has been bubbling. Like, literally, I can't use the term butterflies. I could say it's like fire shot up in my bones. I could say that, right? That's how I have been the entire time that we got confirmation from this particular guest who I have. I'm going to tell you how I found him, right? My mentor, Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing, he likes to post things that are meaningful, things that he would be talking about, and then he'll have some like confirmation or something to share, or other people's views to share about what he's basically talking about. And as I was scrolling through, in fact, I didn't even scroll, because as soon as I opened up Facebook, I saw forwarded a TikTok post from this particular guest of mine. And I was like, okay, because I know whenever Pastor Kevin posts something, this thing has meaning, right? So I decided to listen to it. And as I was listening, my mouth was like wide open, like, oh My goodness. Not necessarily because of his testimony, or not only because of his testimony, because his testimony is so profound. But the mere fact that he said, you know, when I was about, I think he said about 12 or 13 years old, he said that the enemy tried to steal my voice. I'm going to let him talk about it, right? And he said within that, because he knew that he had a purpose, his vision, that was me with the voice, his vision. And I'm going to let him speak more about that. But let me tell you all something. When I heard that, I was like, oh my goodness, I am not the only one. All right. My testimony is not as profound as his, but in similar instances where as a child, about 12 or 13 as well, when I first recall that every time that I tried to speak, and this is a recurring dream, every time I tried to speak, there would always be sand in my mouth, and I would always have to use my hands to try to dig the sand out whenever I wanted to say something, especially something with substance. And if it wasn't sand, it would be gum, chewing gum, where I'm pulling. And if it wasn't chewing gum, it would be thread. And then as I've shared with others before, the best way that I can describe this to you with the thread and the chewing gum is like whenever we would watch movies where you'd see like magicians pulling the handkerchiefs off of their coats, you would actually, that exactly how it was with me. So every time I would try to speak to say something, I'd just try to hurry up, take the gum out so that I could say what I need to say or declare what I need to declare. And it just kept on going and going and going. And it was very much annoying to me. Understood what it meant. So it wasn't until recently where I've discovered the true purpose, and thank God for Pastor Kevin, of spiritual dream meanings and all these other factors, and of course coming across my guest, who I will introduce in a moment, that I said, oh my goodness, what is going on? I could see why the enemy was trying to put a veil over my mouth or mask over my mouth, muzzle me from speaking, because I know that God has something within me. I could see myself being a prolific speaker, but it has always been issues, whether it be fear or, you know, forgetting my words when I speak. I wouldn't even say always, because I've been pulling that down with having to speak. And so when God has shared to me, hey, I want you to go forth and have a talk show, I literally laughed at him, and I was like, show me a sign. I was a Gideon. I'm like, show me a sign. There's no way for someone, especially at that time when I didn't know what was going on with me, you would want to send someone like me. I was like Moses. I was looking for all kind of different excuses, because like I'm unable to speak. Why you want me to be on the mic when I can't speak? Of course, for every time I asked for a sign, he gave it to me. 3 years later, we are here. All right. That's just a little background about what's going on and the importance of, I just want to share the importance of understanding children's destiny. And it comes from those little things that we would try to dismiss. Okay. My destiny was wrapped up in the fact that here it is, the enemy tried to steal something from me that God had ordained for me to have. But thanks be unto God for deliverance and breakthrough. Thanks be unto God for his grace and for his mercy. And thanks be unto God for knowledge, because it is through knowledge that the justice is delivered. So I'm going to stop right there, and I want to introduce our speaker. Call from the Marketplace to Kingdom Ministry. For Perceptions is a Bible teacher and prayer warrior for a new generation. After his personal testimony went viral on TikTok, reaching hundreds of thousands, it became clear that God was calling him to a greater purpose. Living between America and South Africa, he is committed to advancing the kingdom of God through revelatory, in-depth scriptural exposition and an explosive prayer ministry. Christopher Perceptions is dedicated to equipping the body of Christ for such a time as this, all for the glory of Jesus Christ. I want to welcome Christopher on Your Lane Talk Show. Welcome, my brother. How are you?
It is such an honor to be here. I'm forever grateful to the Lord for connecting us, utilizing secular means such as technology to connect us. So I'm forever grateful. I'm honored to be here, truly honored.
We're honored to have you. So we're going to go straight into it. I want you to share with us, please, a little. I know you have like three or four different parts of your testimony with your life, but I just want you to share a little bit of it, and then we go straight into, you know, dream warfare with children and how, first of all, how it impacted you, and then we'll share about, you know, talk to parents more about what they can do to help build our children and to protect their destiny.
Sure. So for every parent that might be listening, for every adult that might not have children, dreams affect us all. Science shows that humans dream even if they don't remember their dreams. And there's a spiritual element there as well if you don't remember your dreams, but you feel like you've had some. But we're always dreaming. Dreams come from three sources. They either come from the kingdom of heaven, they come from the kingdom of darkness, or they just come through life in the busyness that you might be trying to process through your conscious and subconscious mind. Now, for me, I've discovered dreams being very, very impactful to my life and being born into the family I was born into. So I'll give you both sides of the spectrum. Yeah. My mother being a retired Christian missionary, evangelist, my grandmother being the one that taught me how to pray, my great-grandmother planted churches. So you would think like my lineage is pristine and priestly, but on my dad's side, my dad was a warlock who sold drugs, hyper abusive, hyper promiscuous, all of these different things. And then my grandfather, he was a pimp. And then my great grandfather was a Freemason. So I was born in between this tug of war my entire life. And it came to a head when I was roughly 12 or 13, as Coach Trish spoke on briefly. I had this dream that felt a little bit different than any dream I'd ever had. I awoke, I was on this table, and hear my language. I'm in this dream, but I awoke. It felt very real. I'm on this table, I'm strapped down, and I am unable to get up. It was a circular table, and man, which is a drawing from Leonardo da Vinci, where a man is stretched like arms and legs out. I was strapped to the table just like that. And there were these people that were starting to surround this table, and I'm thinking that they're going to help me. The table slowly starts spinning. There's flames in the background. These people went from smiling to having very demonic-looking faces. And I'm sharing the details not to make you afraid, but to make you really get a glimpse of what I saw and to make you aware. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. How can we have a sound mind if we're afraid? It's literally antithetical concerning how we're able to combat fear. So I'm sharing the details, not to make you afraid, but to make you be aware. So these faces, they went from having a sense of happiness and glee to being hyper demonic. They're pulling out weapons. And these weapons I'm noticing are throughout all of the ages. Some had cannons, some had axes, swords, guns, all of these different things. Mm-hmm. And they're aiming these weapons. My body's shaking on the table, but I'm not dying. And I feel a connection now back to my physical body. But there's something sitting on my chest, holding my eyelids shut, and my body shaking on the table. My body shaking physically on my bed. I shake so hard that I fall off of the bed and I wake up. And that's when I realized that dreams aren't just dreams. Dreams are spiritual in nature. And we see this in scripture. But just to get to the point that Coach Trish wanted me to speak on, briefly touching on my testimony, from the time of roughly 12 to 13, I was running from God and I ended up running towards God. I gave my life to the Lord when I was roughly 13 or 14. 18, I backslid. And then in 2012, I gave my life again to the Lord. I rededicated and I've been walking with the Lord ever since. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has been moving in a mighty way. He's called me out of the marketplace to do full-time ministry. And he told me to start on TikTok of all places. So shout out to TikTok. But with me being obedient, because obedience brings blessing and obedience is better than sacrifice, he told me to start the ministry by sharing my testimony. I did so on September 3rd. By September 5th, it had started going viral, and it has reached over 500,000 people thus far and counting. So that's how Coach Trish and I met. So shout out to your pastor. Happy to speak with him when the time is right, yeah, as well. And even come to the Bahamas. I've never been there. I've traveled all around the world, but I haven't been to the Bahamas. So
you're missing out.
We got to figure that out. But that's, you know, long story short, the Lord has called me from darkness into the marvelous light for such a time as this.
Yeah. Wow, that's so amazing that you said that you felt as if you were on a table, you know, and it's almost as if they were doing some type of surgery on you. You said you were about 12 as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And can you recall, you know, you said you saw, did you see the faces? You remember seeing the faces?
I saw the faces. Mm-hmm. They seemed this hell has to have a very interesting marketing department, because how could you trick somebody out of their eternal soul? You have to be able to present nicely. Yeah. So although October 31st is a day that the world knows as a satanic high holiday, in the spirit realm, it is so much more than that. It's a day of sacrifice. But we know in the scriptures that the enemy can masquerade as an angel of light. He can dress up and presents himself in one way, but really is another way. So I believe that was to make me to become disarmed so that I would allow for closeness. The enemy will often try to disarm using flattery, using things that look presentable, but that's why the scriptures say to try and test the spirits, because it might be an antichrist spirit. Absolutely. So in that dream, it showed me that element of the enemy, how he'll try to present himself nicely just to get closer in proximity for the attack.
I love that. I love the fact that you can recall that too. Have you experienced any other death type dream, altering dreams as a young adult?
Yeah, of course. So when I rededicated my life and I started walking with the Lord, most people, they run from God because they think that they have to get themselves together. Oh, I have this struggle. I have this addiction. Mm-hmm. I'm too young. I'm too old. We make all these excuses. But God is saying, I don't care about any of that. I just want you as you are. If we look at the story or the account of the prodigal son in that parable, the prodigal son wanted to come to the father as a worker. Just like some of the people of God, we often try to work our way into salvation, even after salvation. But the scriptures say that we've been grafted into the royal family. We are a part of a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. Therefore, there are certain things that we can't get from work. We get by proxy of inheritance due to our relationship with what? And with who? The Father. Mm-hmm. Even as the Lord taught us to pray, our Father. Mm-hmm. There's relationship. So in the midst of me going through a process of saying, turning back into the kingdom, I had the spirit of Jezebel try and take advantage of me while I was sleeping. And I saw her face. I saw its face, rather, because men or women can have the spirit of Jezebel. Mm-hmm. Very grotesque, very corpsey, falling apart, but was hidden through hair at first. Mm-hmm. Once the hair was removed, I saw what looked like a decaying face trying to take advantage of me. And I woke up speaking and praying in the Holy Ghost instantly. There have been many instances where I've had dreams, such as even where the devil tried to get me to make a deal with him three times. The first time, he was very charming. The second time, he was very direct. The third time, he physically appeared in my room. I said no every single time. Mm-hmm. So the dream wars, before we even get into that, I want to harp on the fact that dream warfare isn't necessarily a bad thing. It denotes that there's value, because what enemy is going to want to take advantage of a safe that's empty? In war, especially concerning you and what you shared, Coach Trish, the fact that you saw the things that you saw, it was the enemy trying to project something towards you to stimulate fear, because fear is the only thing that can stop a move of God in a person's life. Mm-hmm. Most people would say, well, what about sin? There have been many sinners that were at the feet of Jesus that got what they needed. But the thing that angels and even the Lord Jesus tells us to do throughout scripture is do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. Fear can stop certain moves. So for you, the fact that you chose faith over fear, you have a global talk show now, all to the glory of God. So the warfare coming against the people of God kind of can give a signal to what God has deposited, because the scriptures say that gifts come without repentance, meaning God has given us all gifts, some in the aspect of the parable of the talents, some have one talent, some have two, some have five. Your capacity is based on what God, so in your case, if God has given you a global ministry by way of a talk show, he believes that your voice is meant to spread that way, spread globally, far and wide, which is why the attacks were so hard and so vicious. So for the enemy seeing me as a potential threat to his kingdom, hopefully bringing in an entire generation to the kingdom of God, he wanted to try and make a deal with me, as many people, unfortunately, have made deals with the demonic kingdom, but they're just sitting in pulpits. They're on platforms, and we think that they're godly, but if you lift the hood, we see that the engine is powered by demonic fuel. It's not powered by holy oil.
My God. Listen, that's powerful right there. That's something to really think about. And the thing about it is that's what the enemy likes to do as well. He poses himself, portrays himself as, you know, the cute cartoons and, you know, the nice music and all these other things that will attract the young children, our young children, you know. Why is the amount of demonic influences behind these characters or cartoons or animations that we pop or plop in the front of our children and say, hey, go watch this while I go deal with something else? That's something, like, I know for a fact, I don't want to stray too much, but I want to go back to dreams because we could go there. But many people overlook dreams as just imagination. How did you come to understand that what was happening in your dreams was actually spiritual warfare? Because you said it was like 12, 13. Did you know that it was warfare at that time is the question I should ask.
Great question. And we can look at scripture and see that for people who might be detractors and say, oh, God doesn't speak to people in dreams. Dreams are spiritual before they're anything else. And God speaks to all. The Bible says he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. The young and the old will see dreams and visions in the last days. Mm-hmm. So we see this in scripture where God called Jeremiah, a young person, and he knew it was the voice of God, but the request that God was making, he didn't feel like he was ready for. And he put the word of God in the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah. And then after that, it continues on by saying, I'm showing you this, what do you see? Then we can look at Samuel. He heard, he had the ability to hear, but he didn't have the ability to discern authorship. Whose voice is this? He knew it was an authoritative voice. So he went to the priest that he was submitted to at that particular time as he was learning how to serve the Lord. But in the midst of serving the Lord in the as being a priest in his courts, God directly was speaking to him because the former generation had dropped the ball. Even though the prophet Eli recognized that it was God speaking to Samuel and was able to direct him, he hadn't necessarily been heard of God or been speaking to God. Similar to like Saul being in, but the crown being given to David in the spirit. So there was a generational gap that Samuel needed to be trained in. To know and learn the voice of God, even though he could hear the sound and knew that it was authoritative. So for me, I knew based off of my experience, this was something that was very spiritual because it impacted more than just my heart, where it's like, oh, that was a weird dream. And then you go and eat breakfast and then you keep going. It stayed with me. Spiritual encounters have a way of marking you and staying with you. So that's where I knew this for sure was something. And the fact that it was demonic in nature also let me know something. And I want to pause here since you spoke on this. Mm-hmm. The devil is very interested in media because he knows that it's something that can outlive the actors. It can outlive the voices. It can outlive certain trends. If you put principles in movies or if you put certain things within sound, it is going to be able to permeate your ear gate in your eye gate, which has direct your heart. Mm-hmm. And if he can have your heart, he can control everything else. So we have to be very careful about the things that we consume by way of what we watch and what we hear. Yeah. So with that, I understood that it was important for me to note that if Hollywood is spending all of this money to blaspheme Jesus, they're not doing it for Muhammad, they're not doing it for Allah, they're not doing it for Buddha, they're not doing it for anything else. They're spending billions on blaspheming Jesus. And I also had a demonic dream. So if there's the devil, then that must mean that God is real. If they're spending all of this money to blaspheme Jesus, there must be something about this Jesus. There was a point in time where spending time with my dad, seeing his demonic altars, not understanding what he was doing, but replicating what I saw my parent do, I created a demonic altar in my room. Mm-hmm. I was creating an ancestral worship space, burning incense every day, kissing the pictures. And then one day a picture blinked at me. Nope, that's enough of that. So I got rid of the altar, but the portal had been opened already, especially considering I did certain things that my dad did. I put blood on my altar. I was burning things on my altar. I'm a little child, but ignorance is no excuse in the spiritual realm. So the same thing goes to people who might be putting their kids in front of movies, especially as it relates to Halloween. They might be saying certain things that the movie is saying. Ignorance is no excuse. And the TV acts as a portal. YouTube can act as a portal for the kingdom or for the demonic. Mm-hmm. So at that particular point, me opening that portal, I begin to see shadows move on my wall, even when the lights were off. I saw three or four shadows moving on my wall. And there was a point in time where I became an insomniac, because what kid is going to be able to sleep normally, peaceably? That's why the Bible talks about rest is something that God gives to those whom he loves. There's no rest if you're living in wickedness. Mm-hmm. When I was reveling, when I was club hopping, on drugs, when I was fornicating, when I was doing all of these things, I never had rest, even if I had a sense of calm. Yeah. But not to get too ahead of myself, how did the shadow stop moving on my wall as a kid? I called out the name of Jesus. Because they hate the name of Jesus. That's why people who've experienced sleep paralysis, if they can just mutter the word Jesus, all of a sudden it stops. There's something about Jesus that changes everything, amen, especially concerning dreams and dream warfare.
I love that. I love that. And that's the importance of us as parents knowing and teaching our children about the name of Jesus, teaching our children how to pray, how to pull down, how to declare. I shared briefly the first time I started the series with dreams for our children, how at the age of about 4 or 5 was when there, for three of my children actually, there has been a lot of dream warfare with them. They would come running in my room and screaming and crying and all these other things was going on with them. And for each one of them, I taught them how to pray. And since I think, at the age of 5 onwards, they have never come in our bedroom to say anything regarding their dreams. And the only time I'll hear about their dreams is probably the following morning where they'll share what took place. But you have to teach your children how to pray. You have to teach them how to pull down things. They should be strong enough. Listen, there are no, when you were talking, I thought about junior devils. There are no junior devils. There are no little Mr. Nothing. They don't care how old you are. That is nothing to them. They just want the soul. All right, they just want to take your destiny and your purpose. And so obviously we have to be mindful as parents to teach our children about knowing how to pray whenever they see any of these things. We have to teach them how to discern what is right from wrong, even in their dreams. Because yes, as we've stated, the enemy will come as an angel of light. And even if they don't know per se, that's where we come in. When they come and they share their dreams, and we be able to tell. The purpose of this show is to try to enlighten our parents. But we're going to take a quick break. And right after the break, we're going to get more into, hey, how is it that they're trying to target my children? Why isn't the enemy targeting Sam and Susie Demjern, right? Mm-hmm. And as Christopher stated, ain't no thief coming to no no treasure or treasure box or safe if nothing's in it. If they know nothing in it, they ain't coming for it, right? So let's stay tuned. Let's take a break. And right after, we'll get some more information just for you.
You need to turn up the volume. This message is for you.
Where are you in your dream business? Have you published your book as yet? Do you feel fulfilled in life? Need help with time management? Or perhaps a breakthrough in your marriage? I Believe Coaching. Our professional team will help you discover what you really want and take you from where you are to your desired outcome in your life or marriage. Fulfilling your goals is important to us. Call us today at 376-8689 or visit our website at www.yourlanelifecoaching.com. Your Lane Life Coaching, discovering pathways to progress.
Jo- John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta or Michael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Craving something bold, fresh, and unforgettable? Tropical Gyros is your flavor-packed escape, a Carib-Greek fusion born right here in Nassau. From juicy grilled salmon, chicken, and pork gyros to loaded bowls, fresh salads, wings, and more, there's something for every craving. Find Tropical Gyros at any of their locations, JFK Plaza, Rosetta Street, Port Lucaya, on Prince Charles Drive, Soldier Road West, Delaport, and Carmichael Road. Tropical Gyros, not just good food, it's an experience.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. For those who are just tuning in, we have with us on air my guest, Mr. Christopher Perceptions. He is, I don't even know how to describe him at this moment, because there's so many different testimonies that he can actually speak about concerning his life. He shared about having parents from two different sides. Spiritual sides, one from the demonic side, and of course, one from the spiritual God-fearing side. He has his mom who feared the Lord, and his father who delved into witchcraft. And I'm most certain that there are a few people who perhaps can see themselves, or who have had the experiences like this, who can. So I've had times when I had to decide which one, or pray to find out which one is really right. You know, I want to follow my daddy because, you know, every boy wants to follow the steps of his father. But then I see where things are happening for my mom. I see the blessings, and somehow I get peace when I'm with my mom. So it's like you're stuck between two worlds. And that's how Christopher was in his state. And I'm going to let him share a little bit more about his lifestyle, or how he experienced warfare as a child because of it. Go ahead, Christopher.
You hit the nail right on the head, because I definitely did not see my dad a lot as a kid. So when he would pop up, it was like, oh my goodness, all seven world wonders, you know? And then seeing my mother, you kind of develop a sense of normalcy and it becomes casual and common. But I didn't necessarily realize that she was really the one with the golden ticket and my dad was the one that was broken and lost. And that was the issue. Because again, ignorance is no excuse in the spirit realm. Spirit realm does not understand ignorance. It understands action and intention. Intent on something, whatever you spend your time on, that serves and is denoted as a sacrifice, because we can always get more money, but we can never get more time. Only God is able to extend the clock. He's only able to redeem the time and gives us, as the scripture says, a commission to redeem the time, for the day is evil. And the night is coming where no man or woman can work. So there is a season. We have seed, time, and harvest. We are bound by time, but we serve the one who is above it. But I did not know at that particular time that God was calling me. Mm-hmm. I just knew that my family was very spiritual. And there are generational things that took place that I just did not know about. My family has always been sensitive in the area of dreams, so much so that things that poured forth from generations past that hit me concerning certain gifts that I partake in, they've just been purified now. My bloodline is now pure concerning the perceptions lineage, and my children, they see clearer and farther than I do. 6 and 3, and I have a baby boy who just turned 1. So I'll give you a little glimpse of this. We were in South Africa, we have family down there, and my oldest daughter, she said, she woke up, said, good morning, I'm so happy to see you. She said, good morning, what's a boa constrictor? We've never talked about boa constrictors, but boa constrictor is a kind of snake. okay, there was a very large pink boa constrictor in my dream, and it asked me if I wanted to be friends. And me and my wife looked at each other, and we're like, come here, close the door. And we had her renounce certain things. And we said, okay, so a boa constrictor is blah, 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 blah. And there's a spirit, boa constrictor spirit. The next time she went to sleep, she woke up and she said, the snake changed. The pink boa constrictor came to me and it bit me because I said I didn't want to be its friend. And I said, see, the devil always will try to get close to you, but then if you reject him, he'll bite you. And we've been out of war before that moment, but there's something about being the firstborn. We see this in scripture where the enemy is after the firstborn. Concerning Moses, let's kill all of the babies. Concerning Jesus, King Herod, the massacre of the innocent, let's kill all of the firstborn. So there's something about the firstborn, but especially if you're born under a godly lineage, there are gifts that always follow through, even if you're not the firstborn. Joseph the dreamer was the baby before Benjamin. Mm-hmm. And yet when he spoke on his dream, the scripture shows that all of the siblings understood it, including the father. They just didn't like the dream. Yeah. And he was speaking out of turn at particular times. Perhaps he should have taken that to his dad rather than being excited and sharing it with everyone, which is kind of a lesson, being careful in how we share our dreams and who we share our dreams to. Because sometimes the dreams that we see are demonic projections. Sometimes the dreams that we see are things that God is going to do in the earth. But the word is due season. It might not be time for it yet, but it might be time to be aware of it so we can pray into it so that we can begin to prepare concerning certain things. So based off of the wars that I experienced in dream as a child, I was able to show my scars to my children so that when they get confronted with things, notice I did not say if, when the demonic tries, they know how to war in the spirit.
That's beautiful. So obviously you're similar to me and so many others who understand that they're not too young to know about spiritual warfare. Only that they little children, they don't need to know what. You'll be surprised. And like, if God could speak to Samuel, you know, if God can call him by name, you know, God can speak to any one of our children at any point of time. Do not consider the fact that, don't even look at their age. I think he told that to, was it Joshua? That he said, you know, don't be afraid of your age or don't, something to do, yeah, with their age. Don't think that you're just a little boy. He can use you. He can use you at whatever tender age. And of course, in doing that, if he could use you at that point, obviously he knows that you're capable of praying. He knows that you would know that you have authority to tell the enemy, get from me, get thee behind me, Satan. I rebuke you, Satan, my five-year-old at that time. I rebuke you, Satan. And she says it with authority. She stomps with it, you know.
That's right.
So that is what we need to teach them. What are you teaching your children? That's my question to you, parents. How are you teaching them to deal with warfare in their dreams when they wake up and they scream? What do you do? Do you send them back to bed? They're there. It's okay. It's only a dream. Just a figment of their imagination. And let them go back to sleep. Or do you teach them how to, when I speak and what I've been doing with them, now that they're able to do it on their own, like I said, I would let them recite. Like, I would say something to the point where one time the second to the last child, I was pregnant with the last child, and the second to the last child, I was too tired. And the only thing I could say is, what has mommy taught you? Do you tell me how you're going to pray? You know, and she remembered what I would teach her, and then she just started doing it. That's how the second to the last one learned it. And then the last one, of course, was just having to say it repeatedly, and then she's able to do it on her own. No one comes back in our room or have came back in our room because they know how to pray. What are you teaching and how are you teaching your children? And another thing that Christopher stated is that he taught his daughter how to renounce, which means after you've made an agreement unknowingly in your dream, or after your child has made an agreement unknowingly in their dream, you have to teach them how to cancel, how to pull down, how to rebuke whatever covenant that was made within that dream. Okay, because of course the enemy works with covenants. He works, you know, that's just how it is. In the spiritual realm, God works with laws, principles, covenants. The enemy works with laws, principles, covenants. All right. And so in doing that, you know for a fact that anything that you've done in the spiritual realm or any, even in the natural, it can be null and void should you renounce it, or, you know, if it's in the natural, you have a paper and you sign it. So similarly, in the spirit, when the enemy tries to make a covenant with you, you renounce it. I renounce, I rebuke, you know. And another way for children to say is that I don't agree with it. I come against it in the name of Jesus. I will not succumb to, not to use the word succumb, but I'm just using, you know, succumb to the spirit of fear. You know, I will not be in agreement with Satan. I will not allow the enemy to take my joy, you know, for some a child who is always afraid, or, you know what I mean? I have the courage. And then when you're teaching them that, you're also teaching them scripture as well. So you come back with something to fill them up with. So you're filling them with the word of God, which is everything that goes against what the enemy is trying to do. You say, okay, well, so if it's fear, God did not give me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. While you're doing that, you're teaching them how to remember scripture, because it is the scripture, which is the sword of the spirit, which will cut off the head of the enemy. All right. And I know this may be too much for some of you, but that's okay, because this is what we're going to need to do in this type of generation where Satan has no problem sending out whatever he needs to through YouTube and through TikTok and through television. He has no problem doing it. So why is it that we as parents think that, oh, it's just too much? What are your thoughts on that, Christopher?
Excuse me. Well, we have to understand that time is short in the context of time. But Christ was slain before the foundation of the world, mm-hmm. meaning we're fighting to keep victory. The enemy is a defeated foe. He has no authority. And back to that point, authority. The enemy is not going to respect the tears and the screams of the parent. The enemy only respects one thing, and that's the word of God. Yeah. So if the Lord Jesus told the apostles that I send you out as sheep among wolves, but also stated that I have given you authority to trample upon the heads of serpents and to trample upon scorpions, denoting different demonic ranking, it doesn't matter if it's a principality, a power, ruler of darkness. It doesn't matter if it's an imp, if it's a knight in the kingdom of darkness. If you are walking with clean hands, fully submitted before the Lord, your God, maker of heaven and earth, El Elyon, the king of the universe, then the Bible is true. And that means that as you submit yourself to God and resist the devil is going to be the one to flee from you. Mm-hmm. He's going to put on his Nikes and he's going to run. But the key is you have to resist. So how do you resist? How do you create a spiritual environment that denotes resistance concerning anything that is demonic? You have to take inventory. There's a movie that Disney made. It's called Monsters, Inc. Mm-hmm. And it's whether people with spiritual eyes could see it or not. I wouldn't encourage kids to watch it, but I would say you can get a quick synopsis here in this moment. Monsters, demons, they call them monsters, though. They're demons if you look at how they look in the movie. These demons, they have a specific job, and the job is to open doors and portals to kids' rooms while they're sleeping and to terrify them. And then off of that fear, the meter grows, meaning their fear is powering this foundation, this company in this Disney movie. And it is a spiritual lens being opened, because demons, they feed off of iniquity. That's why certain families in the earth, they are flourishing, it seems like. But behind closed doors, hence secret societies and things like this, they are doing wicked, detestable practices against children. Things that can't necessarily be shown to gain greater iniquity, so that these demonic into more resource, more power. Why? Because there's an exchange happening. They're going to give them these printed pieces of paper that really have no value because they're not backed by anything, in order to gain a bloodline through iniquity. They feed off of sin. They feed off of fear. Yeah. So that's why God tells us not to have the spirit of fear. It's a spirit. The spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So it's important for the people of God, especially parents, if your kid is saying they have nightmares, take the extra couple minutes and listen to it. Put the word on it. And then also pay attention to their drawings. Pay attention to their drawings, because the enemy might try to cripple the voice of the children, so much so that there's a sense of shame in bringing things to you as a parent. Or if you've had a blow up, because no one is perfect, myself included, if you've had a blow up because maybe it was 3 a.m. and they're panicking and it sounds simple on the surface, think that they can't tell you any dreams anymore, but it has to come out. They're going to draw it. You got to look at their drawings and say, hey, what's this? Oh, this is a monster. Where did you see this monster? In a dream. And then it will come out. And then you can begin to do the work to be accountable. But getting back to the point of resistance, making resistance be the spiritual signal concerning the demonic. How do you do that? Take inventory of everything that your kid is watching. If you need to put a screen in front of them to handle some stuff, don't give them Disney Plus. They're sorcerers. Don't do that. They might have some good shows, but the root is not going to signal just for fruit's sake, but it's going to signal for you to be able to categorize it, because no bad tree can bear good fruit ever. It might taste good at first, but there's poison at the core. Don't do it. There are other things that you can do. There's a platform called Yippie.tv, Christian. There's Angel Studios. There's some things that are able to stimulate, that are entertaining, and can give you as a parent a break if you need that. Also, the things that you listen to, you have to be careful concerning secular music, because these people that have microphones and platforms, they are not merely musicians. They are priests. If we look concerning the people who handled music in the Bible, they were able to usher in the presence of God. Yeah. So much so that the priests at the dedication of the temple couldn't even move because the tangible presence of God was so thick. This is before we even get to the dream part. We have to make sure the environment is conducive for the Holy Spirit and not for the demonic. Be sure to take inventory of what you're listening to and what your kids are listening to. Thirdly, words. The words that you speak can serve as the opening that the enemy might look for to create a foothold, to create a stronghold. Be careful with your words, because life and death is in the power of the what? The intention? Is it in the power of what I meant to say, or of what you say, in the power of your tongue? Okay, these are spiritual principles. And then lastly, concerning the dream space, you pray before, you renounce before, you go to war before. The best type of warfare is warfare that doesn't require a bullet to be flown or a cannon to be used. You go preemptive. The enemy wants your bloodline. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's playing for keeps. So what do? You spark at the opposition first. You shoot first. You say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you on behalf of my family as we go to sleep. I pray against all witches, warlocks, trying to project. I sever the silver cord in the name of Jesus, and we bind up any strong man trying to legally operate based off of old covenants from former family members and former generations that might have made covenants with death, hell, or the grave. We renounce it according to the blood of Jesus, and we sever the tie. We are fully submitted to Jesus. This bloodline is submitted. Therefore, Lord, we take claim of the promise. Those whom you love, you give rest. I speak peace over my environment. I speak peace over my children, and we will rest well, knowing that you are Jehovah Gabor, the man of war. You contend with those that contend with us. I thank you that my children sleep well, and you train our hands to war. You teach my children how to war, and you cover us in peace in Jesus' name. Amen. That's kind of a template prayer that you can use when going to sleep. Yeah. And then if there's any issue in the dream, you teach your kids that the Holy Spirit is with you. There is no distance in the Spirit. If people can lucid dream, if people can astral project, people can surely be in the midst of war in a dream and say, Holy Spirit, help me. And the Holy Spirit will help you in your dream. And when you wake up, you do the same thing. Lord, I thank you. This is the day that the Lord has made. We rejoice. We are glad in it. Your mercy is new every morning. We welcome your mercy. We welcome your grace. We welcome your provision. I thank you that you go before, with, and after me. Goodness and mercy follows me all the day. Anything in my dreams that tried to follow me that is demonic, it cannot, because goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. Prayers like that will surely help. So that's kind of a crash course in how to cover your environment, go before the Lord in dreams, how to go before the Lord after dreams, and even in the midst of dreams.
Amen. Yes. Be in the offensive. Like Christopher said, look, we be teaching them how to pray prior to going to bed. The now I lay me down to sleep has been gone. All right. So please, please get rid of the now I lay me down to sleep. That's the boring. That's the lazy prayer. Because when you're dealing with warriors, when you're dealing with people who you know, children who you know for a fact has been called and chosen by God, when you know God already spoke to you, mom, God already spoke to you, father, even from the time the mother was carrying, right, their baby, you know for a fact that now I lay me down to sleep is not going to carry your child from birth straight up to their purpose and the destiny that is. All right. So, of course, we want to teach them how to pray before they go to bed. You don't want to let them fall asleep while the TV on. I try to turn off the TV at least about when we do have movie time or time with the family, because I don't really let them watch TV like that. But when they do have the TV on and it's near bare time, I would turn everything off so that they have ample time to pray properly. That's important, because most cases, and I've been guilty of this, I don't think that I'm a perfect parent. There are most cases that we all fall asleep and the TV watching us instead of us watching the TV. But even in that is a way for the enemy to try to creep in. So giving them time, enough time to say, hey, we got to turn the TV off. And then you teach them or you let them pray first, which is an offense similar to what Christopher has stated, to ensure that the enemy doesn't try to throw any darts. And even if that is the case, you know how to teach them how to pray during or in the night. And then, of course, when they wake up, how to renounce and how to pull down. And there's something that he shared as well. He said, you know, dreaming, sometimes there are some children who are unable to articulate what they want or what they've seen in their dream, they want to say. And of course, you allow them to dream. Of course, we'll talk about that a little later, because there is a book that allows them to do that. But there are times when we don't give them that space. Like, we don't welcome them to share because we're always shutting them down. We don't welcome them because we're always turning them away or we're too busy. What are we doing as parents? We need to take the time and spend quality time with our children, even if it's before bed, even if it's in the mornings, you know, while you're getting dressed or you're sitting at the table eating breakfast, as you're heading to school. Whatever that time requires, give them an opportunity to share. And I know for a fact there are some parents, because I know of one, who would say to me, ask your daughter, because this is my daughter's friend, ask your daughter what happened in school, because my daughter don't tell me anything. I'm telling you, she don't share anything. Or tell me what happened. What's the anything? And I'm saying, and I'm thinking to myself, why is it that your daughter, and, you know, and I don't want to share the age because it's two of them, because nobody really know which one I'm talking about. But at this age, they're more excited to share about everything that takes place in school that is taking place. She said, no, her daughter don't communicate with her. You want to be able to have that door open for your children to speak to you no matter what. So whatever barrier is hindering you, break it. Break it so that they can come and share for numerous of reasons. You don't want them to go to YouTube and Google, etc., for information that they need that can be either life or death. Right? Okay. So let's get back to basics. This is for the parents, man. This is for the guardians. This is for the teachers. This is for the grandparents. We need to hear these things. In your experience, what role do family background or generational influences play in dream warfare? Because I know you said to me, yes, and we've shared earlier, mom was, you know, she's a God-fearing woman, dad into witchcraft, etc. How does the environment of that child play a role or factor within their dreams?
The physical environment as well as the bloodline environment plays a huge part, because as the framework of the template prayers kind of mentioned, certain times if we're looking at things legalistically, the devil will comb through the bloodline and be like, oh, well, four generations past, I see that someone was serving the demonic. So unless someone has stood in the gap and renounced it, then that means I could technically enforce this. I don't necessarily want the old and dilapidated. I want the kids. There's a reason why Jesus said, let the children come. There's also a reason why Jesus said, it is better for one who has hurt one of these little children to wrap a millstone around their neck and be cast into the sea. There's a reason for that, because concerning even looking at the promised land, it wasn't the generation prior that inherited it. It was the Joshua generation. A generation died in the wilderness. So all they knew was supernatural provision. They needed to learn how to battle with the God that was supernatural as well. So for me, just putting myself on the chopping block here, understanding my lineage and understanding the word of God, I see that I had two options. The Lord said, I present to you this day, death or life, choose life. The lie is complex. The truth is very simple. Choose life. Very simple offer. But most people, they choose the opposite because we're distracted. But for me, I saw that there was more than just the choose life. There were generational benefits. So not only are there generational curses and generational patterns, but there's also generational blessing. So if there's iniquity found in a bloodline, it can extend up to four generations. But if you serve the Lord in obedience, that loving kindness can be extended to 1,000 generations. So 1,000 generations after me. And generations, generationally speaking, is roughly 40 years. That's why the wilderness, 40 years, died off. 40 years symbolizes a generation. So 40 times 1,000? If I would just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things he will add unto me and the rest of my generations, my descendants, let me lock in and see what it requires for me to really walk with the Lord. But it's hard when your environment is not conducive to light. So for people who might be trained up in the wilderness, you are similar to the fold of the prophets. How was Elijah trained up? How did he hear the voice of God really after the fire fell down? It was in the wilderness to the cave, obscure places. Jesus, mountaintops and lonely places concerning John the Baptist, the wilderness. So sometimes the environments that we're in or born into denotes the type of person that we are going to be. So if I was born kind of in a nomadic sense, not necessarily feeling settled, but feeling like I need to travel, that might denote something spiritually concerning the fivefold ministry or concerning my gift. Things in a more practical sense. It's hard to walk in purity if you're living in a house that is like a brothel. It's hard to be clear and sober-minded if people are constantly abusing substances around you and you're getting a contact high. Mm-hmm. So how are you able to navigate that? I had an instant where when I rededicated my life to the Lord, and I'll touch on this briefly, I was selling drugs in California with a buddy of mine, and we were kind of picking up one of his girlfriends, I'll say it that way, and there was an unmarked truck taking pictures of us, which is not a good sign. We sank down in our seats, and the truck noticed us, so the truck left. We were kind of like panicking, trying to catch our breath, seeing, is this going to be a high-speed chase? Are we going to jail today? Like, what is this? There was a homeless woman that walked past, because in LA, downtown LA, there's this place called Skid Row, lots of homeless people. So you see homeless people downtown, you really don't bat your eye at it. It's normalized, unfortunately. But there was something about this homeless woman that just kind of gripped me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, she wasn't happy or smiling. About her was extremely beautiful, and it just caught my eye. She was carrying a cardboard roller, and it like walked past, and it said, Jesus saves. The cardboard roller that she was carrying. And I nudged my partner. I said, hey, look. And my friend said, look at what? And this lady vanished, like out of thin air. So in this moment, I'm like, okay, Lord, I know that this is a sign. I know that I've been like Jonah running from you. I'm going to submit. I'm going to stop running because this is probably my last sign, because I knew better. And if you know better, you should do better. I knew better and I was running. So the Lord, he got me, and I'm living with my buddy at the time and a couple other people in the arts district, beautiful loft. And I'm like, God, I need you more than I need this. I knew my environment needed to change. So I prayed. God put me in a program at that particular time that caused me to leave that environment and have my own loft space across the bridge. I literally had to cross over to get access to this in East LA. And ironically enough, it was a Crip neighborhood. I almost got jumped by Crips. It was wild. But I really learned that the Lord had his hand on me. at that particular time. So if your environment physically is not conducive to the life that you want to live with Jesus, you can ask Jesus to help you change that environment or to take you and place you in a different environment. Because for me, I just had to stay away from my dad, this tug of war thing. It wouldn't have been a battle if I would just remove myself from the environment. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good manner. Mm-hmm. I backslid because I was around bad company. Bad company corrupts good manner. So it's like, Lord, if bad company corrupts good manner, and in the Lord's Prayer, it says that I can ask you to lead me not into temptation and to deliver me from evil. Lord, I pray that you would deliver me from an environment that is conducive to the demonic, that is conducive to the flesh. I want to serve you as a young person. Help me to not be in environments that would strip me from you. That is a prayer that a young person could pray. Also, for the parents that are struggling to break through concerning that, might need to be a moment where you need to get down eye level with them and apologize. The Holy Spirit led me to do this with my second child, my baby girl, because my third child is a son. Mm-hmm. And I got down eye to eye and I said, has daddy ever done anything that has made you sad or hurt your feelings? And she said, yes. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I apologize. And she broke down in tears. Mm-hmm. And I broke down in tears because I had no clue. If I had not obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit, that moment would have never happened. And sometimes there's legal right given to the demonic if there's grudges or unforgiveness. It could be something as simple as you didn't let me stay up past night-night time. It's night-night time. It might be simple for us as adults, but if we're children, that's our world. So offense can be, because again, the spirit world doesn't understand intention concerning like what I meant to do, or I'm just a child, so don't count this. It understands act. Yeah. It understands what you do. So that's what I would say.
Listen, this morning that I posted, because it was some issues with my middle child. She is 12. So, you know, that preteen type demeanor and personality is like showing, you know. And listen, this morning while I was going through with her, I was like, Father, in the name of Jesus, if there's anything that I did, which I know I did, to my mom, I repent now in the name of Jesus for every lie, every spirit of rebellion, all these different things that I've been doing. I literally did this. And even though it may be funny, it's those little things that give the enemy leeway and leverage, as you've stated, those doors, those portals that are open, that would, of course, come over to your children. Now, I'm not saying that, oh, your child is going to be so perfect even after you pray that they're not going to have little hormonal issues and stuff like that, because we all go through, we're human, right? But as far as the spirit of rebellion, where, you know, they're intentionally not doing something even though you tell them to, these are the things that you pick up, you know? And so I have been picking up those things lately. I can't say that. I can't blame the school. But there is a difference in the school that she's at now versus where she was. All right? They're more, yeah, I'll leave that there. And so, of course, praying more for her and ensuring that she gets the word and all these other things is paramount for me. But I say all of this, I say all of that to say it's important for us to get, as you said, eye to eye with our children. And this is something that I'm not ashamed. I'm going to do that today, God's willing, when after the show, and really truly open up to her and ask her, you know, what is it that I have done? Because I do recall when she was a little younger that she was saying that she thinks that I love the other two more than I love her. She's the middle one. So I, now that you're speaking, I'm able to say, yes, this is how the enemy can lure himself into the thoughts and the mind of our children, just for those little simple things, right? So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're going to take a quick break. And then right after that, yeah, listen, if we have to explain, thank God, if this show was for nobody else, it was for me. All right. The mere fact that I would want to, I'm excited to go to her, you know, and have a one-on-one for something so that I could eliminate those little, the crevices, the little doors, the openers that the enemy may try to creep in. So, yeah, let's take a break, y'all. I hope I'm helping somebody else in the midst of this. Right after this, we'll just wrap up, yeah, because this is the final couple minutes before we close. So let's take a quick break. Thank you. We'll be right back.
You need to turn up the volume. This message is for you.
Where are you in your dream business? Have you published your book as yet? Do you feel fulfilled in life? Need help with time management? Or perhaps a breakthrough in your marriage? I believe we can help. At Your Lane Life Coaching, our professional team will help you discover what you really want and take you forward to in your life or marriage. Fulfilling your goals is important to us. Call us today at 376-8689 or visit our website at www.yourlanelifecoaching.com.
Your Lane Life Coaching, discovering pathways to progress.
This holiday season, let Airwick fill your home with the mist of happiness. Enjoy limited edition scents like apple cinnamon medley, glistening snow and frosted mint, sweet vanilla and shea butter, all infused with natural oils to bring warmth and cheer. Find Airwick's essential mist diffusers and scented oil warmers at Kelly's, Lowe's Pharmacy, Paradise Premium Foods, and Family Island locations. Airwick, activate your holiday essence.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices. Helpful and friendly customers shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Parents, don't ignore your children's dreams. In Genesis 37, Joseph shared his dreams, and though his father dismissed them, those very dreams revealed his destiny. God is still speaking to children today, even in their sleep. And as parents, we must listen, cover, and nurture. That's why I created the Children's Dream Journal, a tool to help you capture and protect what God is revealing to your kids. You can purchase your copy now on Amazon. Let's guard the destiny in our children's dreams together.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Oh, yeah, we got a few more minutes left. And listen, you know, my heart is just so heavy right now. Even for that simple revelation, you know, regarding having to ensure that the enemy doesn't use, you know, what may be going on or transpiring within my middle child. So as something as simple as closing that sealing that door with conversation. And it's not like we don't have conversations, you know. And she's not a bad child. It's just, there are some moments where I question, you know, I'd be like, Jesus, Savior, pilot me today. I try to question if I really supposed to be a parent. Am I a mother? What is this? What, my sins coming back to me? What's going on here? Is, you know, and so it's those little things. Because thinking about it, yes, he does use those doors, the enemy. He used those things with, you know, if a child has unforgiveness or a child has anger or hatred in their heart and they fall asleep, that's just a play. That's a playground for the enemy. It's a playground. What are your thoughts on that, Christopher? And then just briefly, and then of course I want you to speak to, in fact, you could do that after, within your thoughts. I want you to speak to the parents and mentors of children who may be raising destiny or purpose people for fact, those they know for fact have been called and chosen. And I want you to talk about how we could safely guard and protect their destiny. Because of course the enemy will always try to target them and find any legal grounds and excuses. So we can wrap up all of that. All the questions that I had just now, let's wrap that up and I'll allow you to speak.
It's a heavy one because we are accountable for not only what we know, but also those who are in our care. Mm-hmm. That's why for people who are jumping like, oh, I want to have a talk show like Coach Trish, like, are you called for that? Because there's war associated with it. And if you're not called for it, you're going to squander it. Oh, I want to be a preacher. I want to be on. Being on that platform is the most vulnerable place in the entire building. Absolutely. And anything can come attack you because they see you in the spotlight. They see you holding the microphone. There's no place to hide on the platform. That's why those who have platform, those who have talk shows, have to be hiding in the Lord. Our identity is hidden in Christ. Therefore, if we are leaders, maybe you don't have a talk show, maybe you don't have a worldwide ministry, maybe you don't have a platform, you are a leader in your household. And because of that, anyone that is under you in your household concerning authority, you're accountable to God for. So it's important to realize that you're going to have to give report to God for everything. And the scriptures even talks about every idle word. Our words can't be wasted. Our time can't be wasted. We're going to have to give an account for all of these things. So if we look at it from the lens of that, it becomes a sense of duty and a mandate to ensure that we usher these children that God has given to us into their promised land. If we don't get a chance to go into the promised land with them, not out of disobedience, but perhaps it's old age, perhaps it's people phasing out of certain programs that you might be leading, and you have to just trust that God is going to tend to that child. Our prayers don't expire. So step one, which is the most slept on, unfortunately, pray. Pray for your children. I'm a product of prayer. There's no way that the devil is fighting for me this hard and God isn't going to have people fight for me this hard as well. In God's side, one, mainly through prayer. Step two, fast. Obviously, consult with doctors depending on age and health things. But Jesus spoke and said, when you fast, not if, when you fast. Fasting is a huge chain breaker. There are certain things that won't move in your life or in your household concerning warfare, especially, but also finances, healing, clarity, all of these things, prayer and fasting. So it's a one plus, but it's really one, pray, two, fast. Three, don't over-spiritualize everything. Sometimes kids are just going to be kids. The Bible says foolishness is bound into the train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they're older, they won't depart from it. Training denotes repetition. It denotes consistency. It denotes focus. I'm not training haphazardly. I have two beautiful girls and a handsome young boy. So I have to train them not only concerning physical, but also the mental mind games that certain dudes might try to play to get what they want and then leave. Mm-hmm. And then also to train up my boy to understand that you have to follow the woman that is following God. Like, get that woman. Get the Proverbs 31. Recognize what the Proverbs 31 looks like. That's on me. So I have to train up my children, and then obviously I have to protect them, because kids are going to be excited and they might run across the street out of excitement, forgetting for a moment the training. So I have to cover them and say, hey, you got to look both ways. You don't run across anything without holding daddy or mommy's hand. So if foolishness is bound into the heart of a child, kids will be children. At the end of the day, you can't be angry with the intellect of an adult at a child. They're training. You have to train them. You have to be gentle with them. The Bible says, by loving kindness have I drawn thee. If God corrected us in anger, who could stand? Because the Bible also says our God is a consuming fire. So that's why when we go through fiery trials, we're not to despise it. It's God purifying. He's getting dross out of the gold in us so that we can get closer to him. That's where discipline comes into play. Discipline your children as well. I don't know about this like soft parenting stuff. This isn't necessarily biblical. This is just me speaking as a parent. I have three kids, been married for 10 years. I don't know about this soft parenting stuff. Like, because at the end of the day, like, there has to be a point where the point gets driven home. Not like, oh, let's, no, you can be direct with someone. If someone is about to get hit by a car, you're not going to be like, oh, come on, let's cross the street. Get out the street. Like, there's a difference. Yeah. You know, you have to be able to drive the point home. Yeah. So that it can really save the person's life, because it's easier to help a child when they're five.
That's right.
It's a lot harder to break through. So, and then lastly, do everything with love. It doesn't matter if you weren't loved as a kid and you're trying to project that onto your child so that they grow up the same way that you did. You're perpetuating a generational curse. Mm. Now, hear me when I say that. It doesn't matter if you weren't as a kid and you're trying to project. It does matter that you weren't loved. That does matter to the heart of God. But that is not an excuse in God's eyes for you to continue to project that onto the next generation. Mm. My dad was broken, and I believe is still broken to this day because I don't speak to him anymore. But people can only give you what they have. That's why a healed person can lay hands on a person that's sick, and all of a sudden the power of God moves and they end up healed. A successful person can make a person that is unsuccessful become successful, and a broken person is going to beget more brokenness. So if you are full of love, all you're going to be able to give is love. The Bible says, "Owe no man nothing but love." So if I'm under the lens of love concerning my children, that is going to break through any hardness, any hormones, because they know that daddy would be unalived for them. I would take a bullet for them. I would give my last breath for my children. As long as they realize that I'm doing everything with love, they're going to understand that, oh, dad just wants what's best for me. Let me like chill for a little bit. Let me not give the tablet all of my attention and like pause because I know daddy is talking. It's going to come through if you just model love for them. That's what I would say.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Christopher, you have been just a breath of fresh air. You came, you encouraged, you brought scripture, and this is just powerful. I want to thank you for being a part of Your Lane Talk Show today. Now, I know that there are going to be people who want to know how to reach you or where can they follow you on your platforms, etc. So can you please share that with us?
Sure, of course. So first things first, thank you so much for the opportunity and the time. You just don't know, like, what really... It's interesting. I'm 35. I've been an entrepreneur since I was 18. So for God to call me from the marketplace has been like, all right, I'm going to go. It's similar to Abraham or Abram before his name was changed. And the Lord is saying, I'll take you to a land that you will see. No GPS, no like how long it's going to take to get to the destination. You don't have Google Maps. You're just following God. So moments like these, I truly believe are God-sent moments to not only impact, but also to connect, because we are connected. You and your pastor are surely connected with me. So I'm happy to be able to spin around, spin the block, as they say, and do another one of these. So I'm honored. I'm thankful. For people who want to connect with me, very simple. TikTok is where I'm kind of planting my flag. I'm live right now on TikTok. So TikTok, Christopher Perceptions, YouTube, Christopher Perceptions, Facebook, Christopher Perceptions, Instagram, Christopher Perceptions, even Twitch, Christopher Perceptions. Also, I'm doing something on October 31st, commandeering it, taking it back. The Earth's time and calendar belongs to Him. So we are no longer calling the 31st Halloween. It is going to be a day of prayer and fasting. So I will be on live for 8 hours, 1 hour out of each watch of the day, praying. And it's going to be under the title Global War Day. We're going to be praying, we're going to be fasting, and we're going to have the Lord move in a major way as we welcome Him to do that. So all of my social platforms or ChristopherPerceptions.com is the best way to find me and connect with me.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And you've been such a blessing. And so just to wrap up everything that was mentioned today, of course, we have to pay attention to our children's dreams. We don't dismiss them. We're not going to be like Joseph was with what Jacob was with Joseph, you know, and as he came with his dreams, you know, Jacob dismissed it and left it, you know. And of course, Joseph's dream was a prophetic destiny dream. And who would have thought what would have happened? Or God said, you know, God, my son came with this dream. What are you telling me? What are you teaching me? What do you want me to do? How can I cultivate my son? Purpose and destiny. Now, of course, you know, within that dream, it was said, mentioned twice, you know, and every time God says something twice, it's established. So ultimately, Joseph was going to get to that purpose and plan prophetically anyway. All right. But look at what took place with Jacob. If you read further, you'd realize that he was in torment. There were times that he couldn't even sleep. He was just in sorrow and grieving for years because he thought his son was dead, you know. And so, and in fear too, if you read into it, because he didn't want to send Benjamin, you know, when Joseph inquired or requested. So I say all that to say, We have to pay attention. Do not dismiss our children's dreams. When they come to us with the dream, let's try to cultivate. Let's teach them how to pray. Let's teach them in the offensive, praying prior to going to sleep. Whenever something happens, if something happens while they're asleep, teach them that. Ultimately, when they wake up, teach them how to renounce those prayers, okay? Pay attention to what they're doing. Let it be a form of conversation. Let it be a form of interaction and that warm, you know, feeling that, hey, that my mom is now paying attention, my dad is paying attention. They're not too busy and caught up with their phones and devices and work. Mm-hmm. They want to hear what's going on with me and my affairs. This isn't just for purpose and destiny. It's also for what's going on with them presently. You'd be surprised how many children are being bullied. But of course, you wouldn't know that because you wouldn't have an opportunity to speak to them. Their dreams will uncover all of the things that they're going through, all right? I just wanted to share that. And of course, if they're too young to share it, then this is where you come in when asking and inquiring of Holy Spirit concerning your children. Christopher spoke about praying over them. The more time you spend in prayer and being still before the Lord, the more he'll be able to show and reveal things to you concerning them and, of course, yourself, all right? So stay in the Word of God. Let them see Christ in you. Teach them how to read the Word of God so that they could discern right and wrong. Teach them how to pray so that even in the midst of you being busy or tired or, God forbid, no longer with them, they can know how to pray for themselves. All right? And there's so much more, but of course, we're running out of time. I just want to thank each and every person for tuning in to Your Lane Talk Show today. For our new listening audience, thank you so much. I pray that this show was able to encourage, empower, and edify you today as it was called to do. And of course, Your Lane Talk Show episode 150 was brought to you by Your Lane Life Coaching, John Shoe Store and Accessories, Airwick, distributed by Thompson Trading, Tropical Gyros, and Children's Dream Journal. You can find the Children's Dream Journal on Amazon. And for our local listeners, you can find it at All Seasons Book and Gift Center. With the Children's Dream Journal, there are children who may not be able to write exactly what they feel or saw in their dream, but they can draw it. All right. This book gives you an opportunity to draw your dreams, write your dreams. It has prayers. Pray prior to your dreams, or prior to going to sleep. Prayers when you find that you have issues and how to renounce. Prayers to connect with God and to agree with the blessing, because it's not just dream warfare. You know, there's also dreams for blessings to with your children, where God is saying, hey, I'm planting this in you, I'm planting this seed, this is where I want you to go, you know. So there are prayers that teaches your children how to connect and agree with what God has instilled within your child. All of this you can find in the Children's Dream Journal. The author is myself, Trishawn Hanna, can be found on Amazon, okay? And this is all for the glory and honor of God, okay? And so thank you once again, Christopher Perceptions. Thank you to my producer, Christoph, who's been holding it down for us. You've done a phenomenal job today. And I salute you. I salute all those, my continuous listeners. Thank you so much. May God continue to bless you on this beautiful Sunday. Have a beautiful day. Blessings.